Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
My guest this morning moved here 4 years ago with his family from South Africa. And he says it finally allowed him to embrace his black identity. His new comedy show, Black Enough for That, is part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. And Neil Green, you're very welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you, thank you.
I love South African accent, I have to say. I think it's comedy and romance all rolled into one. So just get straight into it. Your show is called Black Enough for That because in South Africa, as you say, you're not considered black.
No, we have a whole other demographic designation. In South Africa, I would be called, and listen, listeners, brace yourselves, yeah? In South Africa, we would be called coloured. So that's a perfectly legal term, but you know when you try and explain that to somebody on this side of the world, it does raise an eyebrow because that word does have negative connotation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a word my parents' generation might have used, and they probably meant no harm when they used it. And all you can make all the excuses you like, but it's not a word we use anymore here.
And that's the thing, it's difficult because I was that thing, I am that thing. That's very much who I am.
And it's very important to say, just to back you up, it's an official legal term.
Yes, if I fill a form in South Africa, there's a box there that I have to tick that says coloured, you know?
I'm instantly uncomfortable with the conversation, isn't it? You know, and I don't even identify, you know, in any other way other than Irish, and I'm uncomfortable. But what does it actually mean?
Well, it's its own thing now. We have our own culture. When they came up with this, I'm not saying they came up with it from a good place.
Okay. Right?
But as people do, we made the best out of it. So we've been officially called that for hundreds of years now. So now we have our own food, our own jargon, our own way of doing things. So it's a legitimate cultural thing now, you know?
Yeah. So I actually spent a lot of time in South Africa and I was aware of this, but it was 10 years ago. I thought that things might have moved on a little bit. No, really?
No, not at all. But again, I'm not saying it now. It's not moving on because of negative reasons. We hold on to it now because it's something that
you
treasure.
Okay. So it means that you are mixed race. Is that what it means? Okay. Or biracial. Is that even a phrase we're allowed to say? I'm not even sure.
Yeah. You could.
Very carefully here now, okay? So, okay, back to you. You grew up in Durban.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I spent time in Cape Town. You just said to me before we went on air, we used to go on holiday there.
Yeah. Brendan, I don't want to put you on blast, but that's the posh part. Oh, like, that's the nice part.
Why, thank you. It nearly broke me, but that's a whole other thing. We could do a documentary about that, let me tell you. But yeah, you grew up in Durban. What was it like? You grew up in a township.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Now, you see, again, townships are something that were, when they came up with it, it was part of the Group Areas Act, where in the bad old days now, they put everybody that was the same race to live together. That was the idea. And that was like that for, what are we talking about, almost 60 years. So townships was where, where coloured people were. We were what you would call disadvantaged, but disadvantaged by design.
Wow.
You know, like we were withheld services and resources and everything. And again, we did it and no complaining because it was a joyous place. Like we still found the warmth in community and each other. And like, I miss it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm happy that I don't live there now, but I can't wait when I go home to visit because that's my home now.
Yeah, of course. And your family are still there.
Yeah, of course. Mom's still there.
So, Neil, where did Neil come from?
Now, that we're going to have to go.
That's a pretty Irish name, I think, isn't it?
Not Irish now.
Is it not?
I would say it is a throwback to somebody English.
Okay.
Somebody English along the line.
I know loads of Neils here, though, yeah.
Yeah, lots of Neils. Yes, of course, because I'm Neil Green. My daughter's Ava Green. So, like, those names.
Your daughter Ava Green? She sounds like a movie star. I love that. That's so gorgeous.
So we definitely fit in when they announce the name, you know.
I love reading this. You're 4 years only here.
Yes.
And when you get off the plane, you say you turned black.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Because, I mean, I never have to explain all that we were talking about that now. I don't have to explain that to anybody when I get here because when people see me, like, I'm black. Yeah. I mean, I am black and I'm very proud to be that. But coming here has been liberating in that way.
Wow.
Yeah, because now it allows me to be part of a different, like, a diaspora of people. And it's been nice to be immediately accepted by that group of people without having to explain everything. And I get to be an ambassador for something different now. You know what I'm saying?
And we have such a legacy connection with South Africa and the apartheid in school for us. It was so part of our growing up, you know, and given our own history, we're very, very connected with the plight of the South African people.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'd instantly embrace you. Did you feel that?
Listen, I'd be so, you know, when we talk about that, right, even when we go back to the end of apartheid, Ireland played a big part in that, like the dance stores, those ladies played a significant part. We can never downplay that kind of thing. But it's so mad that even now, like I was on holiday down in Sligo, and I went into...
really go far for the old holidays, don't you?
You know what I'm saying? I like to keep it exotic. I like to...
Sligo.
Fun and sun, let's do some surfing.
Love Sligo. Love Sligo. Absolutely, yeah.
But I was out there and I met a gentleman called Kevin there, and he stopped me and he was like, you know, I have some... And like the amount of love that he had for South Africa and the amount of knowledge that he had and the beats that he was hitting, because that was the thing. When Nelson Mandela got out of prison, he was happy and he needed to sort out South Africa. But straight from there, he was inviting the boys over from here to sit down with him there. He was a big, I won't say he was a big part of it, but he was aware and spoke about the Good Friday Agreement so much so that we knew about it in South Africa, you know?
Yeah, you know, that day, I remember the teacher wheeled the television into class and we all watched Mandela walk from prison free, which I remember it was quite a thing. It was a part of our education. It's really quite interesting, actually, to be reminded of that. So... you moved here with your wife Valerie and your two daughters, who are Ava and
Casey.
Hey, Ava and Casey. They're probably at school, are they?
They're at school now. Yeah,
you can listen back on the player. You love it.
Oh yes,
we gave them a shout out. So, why did you move here?
Well, my wife was offered a position with the HSE, and she was actually offered two from another country who I won't speak about because we're here now. And, So we had this whole discussion at home and we were like, oh, you know, it would be a nice opportunity to give our girls a different jumping off point. Brilliant. Into the world, you know. Mm. So we took that opportunity and we came here. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying everything was smooth. And I'm not saying we got here and everything was just like thumbs up all the way. The transition was difficult at first. But my daughters, like, they are a source of strength for myself. Because they got here and they took to it. Like, they love Ireland. Like,
really?
They love Ireland and they love Dublin. And it was almost when their feet hit the ground here. And because of their attitude, it's kind of, you know, it's helped me with their time. And now I'm with them. Like, like now I'm on their side, you know.
So do they have Irish accents?
Not Irish accents yet, but the language, the jargon and the phrasings and everything. And my wife and I always laugh about it. Because they use, oh, you're giving out. And like, we would never say that. Yeah. And so.
They say giving out. I love that.
Oh, so many more.
Are they learning Irish at school? Just curious.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, the older one, Ava, she was at first, she was like, oh, she wants to drop Irish. And, you know, because she came
in. It's brilliant.
And you know what? Yeah. We made her keep at it, and now she's fine. She got a 74. I'm saying it on the radio because I'm on higher. She got that 74. But the little one, she loves it. When she's leaving school, like, her and the teacher will, like, even speak in Irish.
So they're at their Gaeltacht age now. The best experience of their life is the Gaeltacht. And I've only experienced it very recently, and I can tell you it was great. As an old man, I went to the Gaeltacht. But, yeah, that's exciting. And so you came here as a comedian, or how did you come to be a comedian, or...?
Oh, I came with my wife as the breadwinner and myself. Like, the idea initially when I came here was I was just going to look after the kids. And then, like, I sat at home for a couple of months and I started feeling agitated. I was like, no, I want to get back into the workplace. So I just picked up an odd job in the beginning. I was working in a petrol station and it was lovely and I enjoyed that. And now I have a job now where I'm a receptionist in a hospital.
Very good.
And you know what? When you're working like that, like, it really gives you a different connection to people, especially when you're customer facing and everything. And that has helped me as well. Like, I've been fully welcomed and made myself a part of the bigger community here in Ireland through work. So that's worked out.
Listen, that's amazing. And I'm great to hear you found your experience here so welcoming as a black person.
Yeah.
But some people will be surprised at that, because we have seen over the last couple of years quite an anti-immigration sentiment growing. I was actually on this radio station when the Dublin riots happened.
Sure.
Have you experienced racism?
No, I'll tell you what. Last year. Nothing serious. But
you have the ears of the nation, sir.
The ears of the nation. But like, do you know, there's a lot of anti-immigration sentiment online, and I don't think that translates to real life, except for that big literal time when it caught fire. We'll talk about that. But you'd see a lot of chatter online. And I don't know how many of those people are bad faith actors, because I don't just agree that everybody online, it could be one guy with 25 accounts.
Yeah.
So it does amplify the thing, right? So last year, we did a little comedy tour, and it was, we used the term immigration as a joke, because that's something that people, the online people would say hatefully, immigration is a joke. So we took that and subverted that. And
brilliant.
And we went on a little comedy tour of, and we went all around the country, and we were back in Dublin on the 5th of December. So yes, if you cast your mind back to what was going on around that time.
Your life is one big ironic movement, isn't it?
And it was so mad, wow, because they had cancelled all comedy in the city centre from that Thursday on. And almost all kind of events. We were supposed to have our year-end function at work. And so the whole city was, I wouldn't say deserted, but the mood was down. The energy was really down. And there's us, the first comedy show back in Dublin city centre, called Immigration is a Joke. And it was scary, because there were some comments that were coming through online. And you can imagine the tone of them. I won't repeat it. And then we got there on the night, and it was just, it was lovely. Like, it was a celebration. It felt like a reset.
I'm so happy.
In that moment, yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. That is quite the story now, the timing of that. Okay, so the show you're doing is called Black Enough for That.
Yes.
You deal with racism. There's racist language in the show, but with humour. Is comedy the best way to deal with racism, do you think?
It's the only way to deal with racism. Racism as a concept is absurd. It doesn't make any sense.
It's really absurd, isn't it?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why it lends itself so well to comedy, because it is something we should be poking fun at and mocking. And if we all have this attitude, that's how we're going to banish it to the shadows. Where it belongs is by literally pointing and laughing at that. So,
the show opens tonight. Your preview was last night.
Yes.
How'd it go? Tell me everything.
Sold out preview last night. Wow. Listen, I know you see me hydrating. Yeah.
I love hydrating.
Hydrating.
I love your accent. It's
just trying to get those minerals and vitamins flowing, because tonight I need to be ready. As you said, it's the first night proper tonight. But if it was anything like last night, it's going to be joyous. Fully joyous.
And how long does it run for?
It just runs until Saturday now. So we sold out tonight and Thursday, but there's some tickets available in between.
Okay. And getting us into trouble, give us a general overview of what the people can expect from the show.
Oh, no, I wouldn't get you in trouble. It's very simple.
Please don't. I'm only filling in.
No, it's very simple. It's just about my experiences in Dublin coming here, and about that awakening. Like, that's what Black Enough for That is. That I always saw myself as somebody that wasn't black, and it turns out that I'm perfectly black. Like, and it's about that story, just personal stories, and just regaling some things that happened, and also some things that are happening in the world about that. So nothing heavy. It's very, very lighthearted.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you love Ireland, is it safe to say?
Yes.
Your experience has been good.
Yes, very much so. I mean, not wholly good. There's been like little moments, but that's the same in South Africa. And I expect it's the same anywhere you go to in the world, you know? Like these problems, the problems that we're having, if you look around at other places, it's much worse in other places like that. So I would say in Ireland, I would say 100% positive in that way.
Even the weather?
Especially the weather. Oh, man. Like, listen, I'm a tropical person, right?
Oh, come on.
You can tell. Like, you
like
time.
The weather here?
I love the weather. It's my favorite. Listen, fluffy slippers in front of the fire with some Baileys, maybe some cognac.
Do you know what nobody tells you about South Africa?
Yeah.
You can't swim in the sea.
Where you are in Cape Town.
You can't swim in the sea. It's too cold.
It is ice cold and rocky.
And full of sharks.
Don't forget the sharks.
I went down, I swear, the first time I went down to in Cape Town, went down to the beach, woo, and people are like, you can't go in there. You can't go in there. And penguins,
they call you right back.
Penguins walked up the beach.
Yeah.
There's penguins in Cape Town.
Yeah,
it's such a surreal place. It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Now, for sure. You come to Durban now, we show you the warm water. Still sharks, though. I'm not going to say, there's probably more sharks, but the water's lovely and warm. But you know what? That I don't miss that at all. I got Killiney Beach there.
Oh. Excuse me.
It's the same thing.
It's lovely with the rest of us in the city centre, then I'd say, yeah. Killiney. Good for you. Tell me, have you made any friends with any Irish people?
Oh, yes, very much so. You know what? The Irish people are always up for a chat. And as you can tell by looking from your short interaction with me, yeah.
Not a bother to you.
Listen, I'm a pub talker. You put me in that situation. And I've got some real, real friends that I've made in the time here. And it's been so amazing because they will come up to you. Like I can be, I'll be doing a show in the middle of, in Clare somewhere. And a man will saunter over and say, and you know, and ask you real questions. There's always people looking to make that connection. There's a curiosity that the Irish people have. And you know what it comes from? It comes from, I wouldn't say that it's insular. Yeah, I wouldn't say, we are island. We are on an island now. And it's just that. There's a genuine wanting to connect when they see somebody that might have a different story. And it's really, it's helped me a lot in my comedy and in my job and in my time here in Ireland.
You're a natural comedian. It's in you. It oozes you. And I haven't even, because it's you're so obviously a talented comedian just by just by speaking to you. Yeah. Do you get nervous before you go on stage?
Every single time. I can't eat for hours beforehand, stomach in knots. And then as soon as they say Neil Green, as soon as I'm on the stage, I'm floating up there. Like I really, really love being on stage.
So you're on at the International Bar tonight and until Saturday, the 14th of September.
That's right.
So tickets are available at fringefest.com.
Yes, please.
Yes, yeah. Please. You're yes, so please. Polite. Yeah. You're an absolute charm, and I wish you the very best, and I hope to see you very soon headlining in Vicar Street.
I'll be there, yeah. And I'm going to hold you to that. You have to come now.
I'm absolutely up the front with me scarf and everything. Neil Green, thank best. Break a leg tonight. Thank you so much. Let's take a break.